The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
And welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am Chris Filico, your host for tonight, joined by Jeremy Schilling and Doug Aitchison.
Aitchison.
Oh, my God. I'm going to get it one of these days, Dougie. Don't worry. Speaking of which, we have had another great episode of Hot Takes for you, and we're going to just dive right in. I'll turn it over to Jeremy. What's your hot take?
Well, it's not my hot take, Chris. This is Amar Miletic. It's A-Mil-617, he responded in the thread today saying, quote, "I can see Trevor Story hitting a walk-off home run in the playoffs, similar to the one Manny hit over the monster against Anaheim in 07. I picked this for two reasons. One, I love that home run. The way Manny responded once he got it, it's just such a cool home run in Red Sox history. And I don't think they're going to go on a historic run. I hope they prove me wrong. But the reason why I like the take is because Trevor Story's been the guy all year long. Rafaela in July was that guy for 30 days, and he was unbelievable. But Story has been steady besides a slow start all season. In this Oakland series, I think he had a ball that was like 2 feet shy of being a home run. He's got 91 RBIs. Been consistent defensively, and I know this is about an iconic moment and I'd love for it to happen, but I'm going to go into more of the player leadership perspective, the way he can pick and choose when to steal. His instincts have been great all year. A recent example of that is he got actually picked off first base in that Athletic series, I think it was, or it was the last game of the Diamondbacks. And he gets down under the throw and steals the bag anyways. And then it was kind of funny because he kind of laughed and waved at the middle infielder. He's been steady all season, and I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him in the playoffs. So if it were a walk-off situation in the playoffs and Trevor Story was up, I would not be the least bit surprised for him to deliver in some pretty cool fashion. So I like the take. I hope we're in a position to win a game like that in the playoffs. And if it's Trevor Story, then power to him. He's been great all year.
Yeah, I agree. I love that take. Because if you had to pick someone to hit a walk-off home run that you felt most confident about, I would probably pick Trevor Story on this team right now. And, you know, he has been doing it all year. He's probably going to win the Silver Slugger, you know, for shortstop. He's one of the best offensive shortstop, if not the, in the league right now. He's, you know, close to 100 home RBIs. Hopefully he'll get that. And, yeah, I love this take. I mean, I would love to see it happen. The Manny one's obviously iconic. I don't think he could ever do something as iconic as that. But a walk-off against the Yankees means a lot in Red Sox lore. So I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it's a great take. I think, well, he's undoubtedly going to win Comeback Player of the Year. At least in my mind, I think he deserves it at this point. But it's so tough because, you know, that's such an iconic moment. It's so different too because the playoffs structure so different, right? Like at that point, that's, I believe, ALDS, going to ALCS. Yeah. You know, it was less series at that point. We're going to be in a wild card. There's extra games they've added to the wild card. The only way it would ever be able to match that moment is if it is the Yankees, like you said, Doug. And to your point, Jeremy, if it's not, it has to be deeper into the playoffs. And I'm kind of leaning towards you. I don't see us going on this magical 2021 carpet ride type run. I hope they do prove us wrong. And if they do, I mean, it would be amazing and it would be so special. And I would be happy for Trevor Story because, I mean, he's caught so much flack the last couple of years, whether it's been us at the Bastards or even just Red Sox fans in general. So it'd be well-deserved, cool moment. So it's a great take.
So, little fun fact, I don't know if this is on people's radar, but I believe Trevor Story actually has an opt-out at the end of this season. Guys, question for you, do you think there's any risk of him opting out?
I definitely do. Yeah, I think he's been waiting to have a season like this. Now, I forget what he would leave off the table. You know, so I guess that matters. I would have to look at that. But he had a great year. I think people would offer him a contract with the year that he had. So I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think it's a shoo-in that he, you know, that he's, that he would not opt up.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
So I have that information. According to SpoTrack, he has 3 years, $75 million left. So obviously $25 million per.
Okay.
So I don't know if that changes your analysis, Doug, but –
He could probably get around that. I don't know.
I think the
375 maybe.
The thing is 3 years though. I don't know at his age and injury history now, especially for the last consecutive two, three seasons now. And then even coming out of Colorado, I just don't know if he's going to be able to command that money for that duration. Could I see it? Yeah, there's a world where I could see it. Do I think it's likely with that much money left on the table? I don't necessarily – I don't have that much of a fear of it. And it's interesting now with this whole Bregman thing since we're on the, you know, the talk of opting out. I mean, talk about like a seesaw. It was a foregone conclusion he's going to opt out. Now all of a sudden it's like he wants to be here. There's no reason. You got Sam Kennedy blowing smoke up everyone's butt. I'm sure Jeremy –
Sam Kennedy lies. Don't listen to anything that guy says.
That's why I brought it up. But yeah, it'll be
smoke in the fire.
To me, that would be one of like the most shocking things if he does opt out, because it's just something that's so off our radar as fans until Jeremy just mentioned it. So keep your eyes out for that. But
yeah, so my take to my own question is, and I say this a lot when this topic comes up, the thing that scares me, because I actually want him back, is it only takes one dumb team, and there's almost always one dumb team, you know? And so I think he values winning at this time, his career, you know, but the days of guys, you know, doing the Brady thing and taking less just to stay are over. The union exerts so much pressure on these guys to get top dollar so that the guys that come in behind them get better money. But if he wants to play for a contender, he's going to have to get that money out of 2 years, because while somebody may overpay for next season, I just don't see it. With the injury history, it's so blatant. It's so out there. It's been so publicized. I think it would be a tremendous risk. With that said, I'm sure John Henry hopes that he opts out, and we will not offer him anything obviously over what he's currently signed for. If I am a betting man, if I had to bet, I think he'd opt in after a month or so of seeing what's out there. And once he finds out there's hopefully not going to be anything better, he'll be back. But that's my guess with no information behind it.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think
hopefully a nice playoff run can incentivize him to stay too.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, it takes a dumb team. I don't disagree with that. Also, I think at his age, it also takes a team with money, right? Because like there's some dumb teams out there, but I think about the teams that just throw around money, like the Dodgers, the Mets. They don't need shortstops, not at this point.
Good point.
I'm not necessarily fearful of them, but like a team like the Angels, or like, you know, teams like them that haven't won for a bit, haven't really spent a lot of money. You know who I wouldn't be shocked? Who's the shortstop for San Fran?
I don't know that information off the top of my head.
No. They're a team that wouldn't shock me because they've always been trying to spend money. I mean, we made that point when they traded for Devers. I mean, they're just trying to hand out money. So there's probably a dark horse team out there. But again, if he does opt out and he does leave, I wouldn't blame the Red Sox to not sign him for more money than we're offering him. Because as much as I want to have him back, I don't think he's worth the, you know, $22.5 million plus.
No.
Not at his age.
And Chris, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Because John Henry is not going to spend money on a guy that's in his mid-30s.
Well, I got to be honest. This is one where I wouldn't blame him. This would be the case where it's
I don't disagree either. I think if he stays and you get another good year or two out of him at what he's doing now, it'll be nice to have him and you eat the last year because that's what you have to do with these contracts.
Yeah.
You know, so, right. You know, also, you know, while he hasn't stayed healthy, there's internal options to plug and play at that spot with Marcelo Meyer, so.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh, Jules, New York Yankees need a shortstop. That's interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, throws it into the stands every ground ball.
Gosh, yeah. Hey, Dustin, anyone's an upgrade over Anthony Volpe right now. So, yeah. All right. So, what do we got, Doug, for our next take?
All right. Next, we're gonna go with Glenn's hot take at Glenn55Nola. He says, "Early will continue to shine." And runners in scoring position won't improve. I like this take a lot because I was really impressed with Early, and I'm really excited to see Early again, just like I was with Tolley. You know, Tolley has kind of disappointed now, not that I've given up on him, but I'm really excited to see Early. His stuff was electric. He had multiple pitches. He was locating his pitches. He looked really, really, really good, obviously, with 11 Ks and 19 whiffs, which is insane. The runners in scoring position won't improve. That, you know, it's hard to argue that because they haven't shown that it will improve the whole season. So it's hard to argue that. I would have to agree with that. And I'm really excited to see Early. I think he, you know, has electric stuff. And sometimes, you know, it's those rookies that can get you through a long stretch like this at the end of the season when everyone's tired and kind of beaten up. And even in a playoff series, you know, you see in every sport, you know, a rookie kind of comes in and doesn't feel the pressure on him, doesn't feel like his career is weighing on how he performs in the playoffs his rookie year. So they kind of just go out there and play. And you see it all across all sports. They always perform pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like every year a team that makes a run has got some young talent infused in the lineup, and it just seems to work out that way. My issue here is – Tolley kind of broke my spirits a little bit. I thought he was going to be awesome. I have to eat that one. I was completely wrong. My take was that, you know, we'll see what we got here, but maybe this is a guy we can rely on. And as of right now, I don't think he's a guy you can rely on. Early's a little bit is a much different pitcher. I mean, obviously Tolley's, you know, a monster and more the size of Crochet and, you know, Early is a more athletic, smaller bodied guy who kind of whips it. I hope we can catch lightning in a bottle. I do. And at this point, we're kind of running out of options here. I went back and looked at, or somebody retweeted it. I don't remember, but we did a dive early in the season on the pitching depth, which at the time had like Priester and Cooper Criswell on there. And Priester has been traded and Criswell has an arm injury. And so these guys that are coming up through the system here, we're not even on the radar at the beginning of the season. I think it goes to show you that they have some organizational depth we didn't expect. But we're kind of running out of options here. You know, how many new names can pop up in the next 3 weeks? After Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito, we got to find a way to win a couple of those games. And right now, Early presents an option, at least have a chance. So, I mean, I don't know what we're going to get out of him. Totally broke my spirits. I'm not going to rely on Early. At least I'm not going to have that take again. I don't want to necessarily be wrong again, but we kind of need it.
Yeah, let me try and rejuvenate you here, Jeremy. So, Jules, okay. You're making a great point. It's like you listened to us on the show the other night, and this is the exact point that I made, is because I was excited about Totally as well, and Early came out of nowhere, like that call-up and whatnot. So early pitches, Toley throws, and there's no real better way to say it is, you know, Toley is a flamethrower. And let's face it, in this league right now, like flamethrowers, people that come there and throw 100 plus, like that's what everyone wants to see. People want to see all these pull schemes. And while it's great when you can, you know, place the pitch where you want it and be able to throw it 100 miles an hour, if you're just throwing 100 miles an hour dead center to the plate, they're going to take it out of the ballpark. And that's what's happened to Toley. And until he figures that out and is able to mix, you know, him being able to throw 100 plus and place it where he wants, he may not have the success that we expected, right? And the good news is no one really figured he was going to be a big part of the plan this year anyway. So let's develop him, not ruin him. What I like about Early is Early reminds me of a more polished version of Bayo at this junction of his career. He's able to really work, you know, the counts, the placement of where he puts his pitches. He's not throwing 100 miles an hour. And he's just trying to put it where he wants it. And that's something that kind of Bayo struggled in the beginning. And he used to get very frustrated. And I get it. It's one start. Early could get frustrated, maybe not have that command in later starts. I hope I'm wrong. And I'm not wishing that on him, but that's just a reality. But from what I saw in the first start, the fact that he was not relying on throwing 100 plus, was able to set or tie a Red Sox record for the most strikeouts in your first start, was absolutely impressive. So I'm eager to see more of Early. If I had to bet on the two, and again, hindsight's 2020, I would say Early's, the way he pitches is more sustainable at this point for success in his young career than Toley, because as we saw, once they get the book on you and you're throwing 100 plus and you really don't have much more diversity in your pitches and your command, they're going to figure out, all right, we're just going to swing and you're going to run into pitches and more than likely going to get your fair share of home runs. And that's what's happened to Toley. So hopefully he makes the adjustments. Excited to see more of Early. And hopefully that cheers you up, Jeremy.
I like it. I like the take. I do. The thing that impressed me, and this is what we'll see at once now that they have tape on him, is the swing and misses outside of the strike zone with the curveball.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see if we can get people to chase that. He was really effective with that pitch in this start. So we'll see. But, you know, it's to that point, they come up. The only tape is in AAA. You know, how prepared are these clubs? The announcement for Early came essentially within 24 hours of the start. I wonder how much information they had going into that. And regardless of tape, no one had seen him unless they came across him in the minors. So that's obviously going to change moving forward. It's been a big effect in Toley's performance and ability to get out. So we'll see if Early can do what you're suggesting, which is pitch to the corners, have diversity in the way he attacks hitters and continues to get people out.
Can you guys remember a time when we've had such a crop of young pitching?
No.
It's been a while. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, and that,
it feels like we're rolling draft picks out at this point. I mean, it's kind of insane. I mean, we'll see where when the dust settles, who's going to be a big league pitcher or not. But at least we're, you know, able to continue to fill the back end of the roster with guys that have plus stuff. Whether they can get people out, we're going to find out.
Well,
yeah. I mean, even Bayo's still young.
Yeah.
Well, I think Bayo's ascended. I don't know if anybody disagrees with that. To me, he's our number two, and he's going to get the ball in game two of the playoffs.
What's crazy to think about is, to your point, Jeremy, like we're rolling out these draft picks and they're all somewhat kind of hitting. We just drafted, I feel like, four pitchers in this year's draft on top of the crop that we already have. So, you know, and again, you know, in especially our show, like we are sometimes super critical of Breslow, some of us more than others at Terry. But that's something that we can give him credit for, because I mean, we haven't seen this in a long time. It didn't happen in the Heim Bloom era. Right, we weren't rolling out pitchers, it seems like, on a weekly basis. Now, granted, it would be nice if these were additional assets on top of a really good, strong rotation. And I think right now, you know, to criticize and be fair to Terry's point with Breslow, is right now it's a necessity. And you do not want to have to be relying on rookie pitchers coming out of AAA in the middle of the playoff run as a necessity as you're about to play the New York Yankees for what might be the biggest series this season. And to that, I'm going to get to my hot take, or the one that I picked. Let me find it. So it's Twonsky time at Looks like Illy Khan. I don't know how exactly how it said, but anyway, the take is, I care more about the Red Sox sweeping the Yankees this upcoming series than how far they make it into the playoffs. And that's an interesting take, because while I agree it'd be great to sweep the New York Yankees, and with a little bit of faith that we have right now in them going deep, the rub is right now it looks like we are going to be playing the New York Yankees in the first round. So while it'd be great to sweep them now, if we get swept in October by the New York Yankees, you're not going to give a rat's patootie that we just swept him here.
Judy.
I know. I did not curse for Charlie, so save the dollar in the jar. But nonetheless, no one's going to care that we swept him. No one's going to care that we won. I think at that point it would be if we sweep 11 games and however many that we played, and them having two wins, it doesn't matter at that point. So I get the point, but it's kind of a lazy take, because the reality is we're more than likely going to play the Yankees. And if we sweep them now and then we get swept, or even just lose that series, even if we keep it close, heartbreaking fashion, no one is going to care. And I, for one, do not want to be knocked out and have my season end to the New York Yankees.
All right. So Twonsky, don't take this personally, please, if you're listening or watching, as it were. I can't stand this take. I'm not going to go too hard on it from some of the things that I would say about the mentality that requires a take like this. But you have a young core of players, and no one considers you a World Series contender this year. The idea is that we are ascending to what is going to be considered a contender in 2026, 2027. Nothing gets you more prepared to do that than to play playoff games this season. Now, I know Meyer's no longer here. Campbell's in the minor. We've had injuries, but your core is still extremely young. So why would you not want to put those young pitchers, those young players in a position to feel what October baseball is like, to play under that kind of pressure, to either one, give them the experience just generally, so next year it's not shock to them, or two, find out what you got in these guys in those high pressure moments. And even some of our veterans, Bregman's the only guy that knows how to win. Story played in Colorado. He hasn't won anything. You know, I could go across every position. Narvaez is a rookie. Abreu, second year player. Duran's never been a part of a winning team. Like, all these guys need to learn how to win. How you do that is you succeed in October. Now, whether it's you're competitive and you're a tough out, fine. I can accept that. You advance into the ALCS, fine. I don't know that they're going to win the pennant. I don't think it's likely, but you know, that's why they play the games. And I just can't imagine somebody thinking that a playoff game is less important than a regular season game with 2.5 weeks left in the season. With that said, playing these types of series against quality opponents are going to sharpen iron for hopefully when we get to October. So how they perform in these series against the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Tigers, which are all going to be playoff teams, might give you some kind of forecast as to what you can expect from this team when the lights are the brightest in October.
So if we did sweep them and they fell to the 3 seed, we didn't play them in the playoffs, we both lost in the first round, I would absolutely bring that sweep back up to rub it in their face. In that scenario, I would. I know I would.
Man, you went through every scenario in your head, Dougie, that could have possibly came out. Well, I think to a lot of the points that Jeremy hit is, yeah, like, I think outside of literally Bregman and Chapman, there's not many guys on this team that have playoff experience at all, let alone winning.
Yeah, Nate Lowe. Right,
Nate Lowe. And I think about, like, think about the people that mean the most to this team right now, specifically to this season, right? Story played for Colorado. They have playoffs. I'm going to do like an Atlanta quote here. I mean, they haven't seen the playoffs since they played us in the World Series. And that was almost 20 years ago. So he doesn't have any experience. Crochet, as much as we love him, played for the all-time worst MLB team, I mean, like ever, a year ago. Yeah, so he certainly doesn't have playoff experience. Bayo, as great as he's been part of a losing culture in Boston for the last 5 years, right? Giolito, maybe they made the playoffs once and probably got smoked by the Yankees in the first round. I wouldn't call that much experience. And I can go on and on by about all the players on our team. But the point is that not many of them have experience. And, you know, that's why there is no foregone conclusion. I see a lot of people like, oh, I'm happy to play the Yankees in the first round because we've dominated them. October baseball is not the same as the regular season. And we can say what we want about the Yankees. They were in the World Series last year. And the additions they've made all have playoff experience. Fried has playoff experience. As much as we rag on Rodon, he now has World Series experience. Last year, and he played in the playoffs before he was on the Yankees. You know, Bellinger, playoff, he's World Series champion, playoff experience. So I can go on and on. It's not going to be easy, no matter who we play. And no matter what, it is going to be invaluable, the experience that comes with playing playoff baseball. That's why I think it's important. It would be great to take a series. And if somehow we win, God willing, two, and we get to the ALCS, just so that Roman Anthony has the chance to get some experience. Because that kid's going to be a part of our future, hopefully, for the next 10 to 15 years. And, like, everything that he's done before he got hurt, it's great. But if he turns out to be the next Aaron Judge, but for Boston, where he does all these great things when the lights are not, you know, shining but not the brightest, and you get to the moments that mean the most, and you're not doing anything, I mean, then what does it all really mean?
Agreed.
It's hard to remember. It's hard to remember they were in the World Series because they choked so bad.
Well,
not that they choked, but they just fell apart. They embarrassed themselves so bad. It's hard to even remember
winning that series if we're all honest with ourselves. The way Game One ended, I'm happy they lost.
Yeah.
But they easily could have been up in there.
But then they decided they just couldn't make a play in the field after that, and they just completely rattled, fell apart.
Look at the Sox soft, and extras,
soft players
every game.
Yeah. One other quick factor for me is we are not going to outspend for free agents. We're not going to do it. John Henry's cheap. Sam Kennedy lies. But if you make a run, if you show that you're ascending and you're young, you have a better chance to grab a guy at the end of his career that's looking to try to compete for a World Series championship. So it's not a big factor, but a small factor is you're gonna potentially be able to build the back end of the roster with veteran guys that are looking for one more shot if you can show the league that you're seriously a contender. So again, I don't mind if they get bounced. They got to be a tough out. They can't have key guys just completely disappear and look like the lights are too bright, to use Chris's analogy. So this playoff run, however it ends, is extremely important to the development of the young guys, for the ability to get free agents and to feel what it's like to play in those big moments. So when they get in them next year, they're prepared, they understand the moment, and they perform so that we can hopefully go win another World Series.
Absolutely. You know, we're only a couple games away from 90 wins. Like, you got to be happy at where we're at right now.
Yeah, and it's a good point, Jeremy. It's a double-edged sword winning for this particular regime of Red Sox baseball, because on one hand, the more that they win and the further they go, you get the validation of what they're trying to accomplish, right? Like Breslow, and then continuing somewhat of the similar mindset of Chaim Bloom, where bringing in this young core, quasi-cheap help, you know, responsible contracts long-term, which are all great on paper if you're winning. And for us as fans. But then there's the other side of it, where the further they go and then eventually it ends, if it doesn't end with a World Series, you know, the hope is that there's a glaring hole for this team where I'm not going to have confidence in them signing a big contract, but maybe going out there and doing something similar to Crochet, right? Where it's like, all right, we clearly need a starter. Let's go out there. We have assets, trade for them, and then try and extend them at a fair, reasonable deal that meets the new Red Sox baseball methodology. Because long gone are the days where we either miss the playoffs or get bounced early and the Red Sox are like, we need to go out there and sign everyone. It's not going to happen, guys. Not with this ownership group. And to be honest, there's not many teams in baseball. The Yankees aren't that anymore. To be honest, it's just the Dodgers and the Mets. You have two teams in an arms race, and then the Giants, who want to spend money, but no one wants to go there unless the Sox just trade their, you know, dirty underwear. But but it's two teams that are basically just looking at with open checkbooks and that people are, you know, acquiescing to catch them. So I can't necessarily get too much on the Sox because even the Yankees aren't doing it. But the further they go, it could go either way. All we can hope is that the guys that are here that we know are going to be part of the long-term solution are going to get the experience they need. And then the next 2, 3, 5 years, we get ourselves a World Series. Anything else, fellas?
Absolutely.
Go Sox.
Go Sox. Yeah. Well, except for me. Thank you for stopping by. This has been Hot Takes with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. For more well-written articles from the Bastards, which includes me and Doug, not so much Jeremy, go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Thanks again. Have a great night.
Chris could take a couple.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.